will be in chapter 1, and we've gotten down to verses 9 through 11 is where we're at today. 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're preaching from out of 2 Peter on the subject of doctrinal deviation. In other words, what that means is deviation means deviating away from the right way, in a sense, the straight way. And there's a deviation sometimes in what people believe, and in some cases that's okay, it's minor things, but in other cases it's bigger things, and it does have an effect upon our lives as God's people. And so Peter had begun talking about the subject of our knowledge of the Lord and how important it is, and how that our knowledge of the Lord is something that gives to us a strong defense against false teachings, against things that are contrary to the truth of God's word. But the focus is on, as Peter is bringing the focus, and you'll see this, the not knowing the Lord, knowledge of the Lord, and such as this, a few times here in 2 Peter, and the focus is not upon learning all the different false doctrines that there are out there. The focus is on knowing the Lord. It's a relationship that we already have, and Peter's talking to people who already have a saving relationship with Christ, but he's talking to them from the standpoint of, you know, you need to get to know him better. You need to be closer to him. And the more you're closer to him and the more you know him, the more that in and of itself, he will defend you from the falsehoods. He will give you strength and understanding and perception to see the counterfeit, in the sense, to see that which is really far, far from true. And so we need that perception. We need that understanding. And it comes, as it would not surprise us, in all the different things that the Lord does for us, it comes in our walk with him, our fellowship with him. Closer we are to him, the more the better we will be in being defended against whatever it is in life, whether it's the devil's lies or whether it's something else in our life where we stand in need of defense from the Lord. And so today, though, we're going to look at an interesting passage of Scripture that is somewhat controversial, in that he refers to making our calling and election sure. Making our calling and election sure. And we see that in that statement in verse number 10, where he says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall." Okay, so he's speaking to saints, and we'll try to get this gist of what he's referring to here as we look at the context, first of all, and then we're going to look at the warning itself as it's given us in verse number 9, and then we'll consider God's will to us as we see it there in verse number 10, and then finally we'll consider the divine promise that God makes as we look at it further, especially in verse number 11. So we're just kind of taking verse by verse here, verse 9 and 10 and 11, a warning, God's will, and a divine promise. But looking at the context to begin with, before we go further, let's ask the Lord's blessings once again. Lord, we stand in need of your help. We feel our desperate need, Lord, of you. And we just know that as we draw closer to you, and as we draw closer to hearing your word as we see it here, that it might be that helps us, Lord, that gives to us the means by which that we can not only be grounded in the truth and stable in the truth and not tossed about with every wind of doctrine that comes along, but Lord, that you'd help us as your people to walk close to you and to enjoy the blessing and fellowship that we can have with you, that we can enjoy the abundance that you give to your people as we walk, as we seek to live for you. And we just pray that, Lord, as Peter talked about these internal virtues that we are to add to our faith, that you might bless us, you might help us, Lord, to see the blessing of that in this passage today. We'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, making our calling and election sure. The word sure here, if you were to look it up in the original language in the Greek, you'd find that it is a word, and of course we don't absolutely need to. Sure is a word that means stable. It means stable, it means fast, firm, or unshaken. So to verse 10, when he says, make your calling and election sure, it's not that, I will say that the word itself, sure, it can have some latitude, but it is a word that, talking about the stability, if you will, being stable. So as I think of that, he's talking to believers to begin with. Peter is clearly addressing believers. Verse 1, Simon Peter, an apostle, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Have we obtained like precious faith? Have we obtained this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through him, through what he's done for us? Has the Lord granted to us this saving faith, this saving knowledge of Christ and confidence in Christ by the grace of God that we might be right with God? Not by works, not by anything we do, not by our own diligence, but rather by simply trusting in Christ, by coming to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God has brought us to that understanding that Christ is our Savior, that we are sinful, that we deserve the judgment of God upon our sins, but that Christ Jesus went to the cross to pay that penalty, to pay the price for our sins, and so that then we might believe on him, might trust in him, and be confident that his righteousness, that we're robed with the robes of righteousness that we have on Christ, that we have perfect righteousness before God. Now, but we're still in this life, right? We're still in this world. And when we're in this world, we still have the old man. We still have the flesh to contend with. And when we have the flesh to contend with, then not only does that mean that the Lord's going to have to keep bailing me out, because he is, honestly, he is. That's what he does. He's our Father, and he bails us out. He loves us enough to keep doing that. Not only is that going to happen, but also I need to learn to be responsible. I need to learn some responsibility and some accountability and realize, you know what, part of the promises that God gives us in his word are conditional promises. They're promises that are based upon a condition that he tells us, if you do this, then this will happen. But we know that salvation is not a conditional promise in that sense. In other words, salvation is not based upon my doing something, but rather salvation is based upon what he's already done for me. And it's simply my understanding and my perception and my confidence that God gives to me in Christ as my Savior. But beyond that, though, he does call upon us to be responsible now. We've been saved by his grace. And now, out of love for him, he wants us to walk with him, wants us to live for him. And so part of that is what I believe what Peter's talking about. Peter's clearly addressing believers. And to them, he says that they should diligently, we read about it in verses 5 through 7, that they should diligently add to their faith several inward virtues, several things that are inward things that need to be added. He said, verse number 5, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So you add all these things. These are things that when Peter says you add these things, he's saying as believers we're responsible to do that. He didn't say that's the means of salvation, but he says since we're saved, it is the Lord's will that we would add these things to our lives. And what is it going to do for us? Well, it's a conditional promise here. He's given the condition here of what is being promised. And he says in verse number 8, for if you do these things, or if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's talking about the knowledge of the Lord. He's saying you're not going to be barren or fruitless in the knowledge of the Lord. You're going to have a good, strong, stable understanding, but it's going to be based upon inward things that you have added. And so as we add these things to our lives, and their inward grace that we're adding to our lives from the Word of God and through the teaching of God and through the experiences of life, that we're adding these things to our lives. And we went through all these things, and they're important things, and they're inward things that we are to add to our life. And he says, hey, if that's the case, then you're not going to be barren in your knowledge of the Lord. If we'll walk and do what we know the Lord would have us to do and live the way the Lord wants us to live, then he will open to us a stronger understanding of him. Some people say, well, I just don't understand all the things of the scriptures. And it's just that. Well, do you do the things that you do understand? You know, as a child of God, do we do what we do understand? It's like dealing with one of our children. We got a kid, and he says he wants to know why on everything. Well, so why? Well, first of all, practice doing what I just said. Do the things that you know are important, and then we'll discuss why. Maybe you'll understand why a little bit better. But do them first. The Lord would have us to yield to him first. And then he says, hey, I'm going to, those things, if you just put these things in practice, he's the father of all fathers. He's the parent of all parents. There's nobody better. And if we just trust him and put some things into practice in our lives, then he says, I'm going to make you so you're not fruitless in your knowledge of the Lord. And that knowledge of the Lord is where we're at in 2 Peter. Is that growing in our understanding of the Lord so that we're not tossed to and fro. So that the situation is going to be that we're going to be strong and confident and at peace in the things of the Lord. Okay, so that's a little bit about the background here. And he's saying, you know, if these things be in you and abound, these inward graces, that you're not going to be unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord, as verse 8 says. That brings us now to the warning that Peter gives. He gives a warning here first. Brings us to our text in verse 9. But he that lacketh these things. So he just got through saying, add these things, and they'll make you so that you're not fruitless in the knowledge of the Lord. And now he says, but if you don't add these things, he says, but he that lacketh these things, he that falls behind in these things, and he's not changing who he's talking to, who he's addressing. He's still talking to believers. And in talking to believers, he's saying to them, you know, if you lack these things, then there's going to be a sense in which that you're kind of blind. It didn't mean that you're totally blind, because he describes it in the next phrase. He says, and cannot see afar off. In other words, there's a certain kind of, what is it when you can't see afar off, but you can see up close? That means you're nearsighted, right? You can. That's what I am. I know that because that's what I am. I'm nearsighted. I can take off these glasses, and all of you just look like a big blur, okay? But I can look here at the page, and I can still read. I'm nearsighted. I'm not blind completely, but I'm blind afar off. I have a certain blind I can't really perceive. So that's kind of what he's saying. He's saying there's a certain kind of blindness that the believer can possess whenever they're not putting these inward things into their lives. Whenever these things are not becoming part of their life, then it's going to cause them to be nearsighted. They're going to see things up close, in a sense. They're going to see the hardships, the difficulties, the trials, the things that hit them. And they're going to feel them, and they're going to see them. But they're not going to be able to see the bigger picture. They're not going to be able to see what the Lord is doing in all those things. They're not going to be able to see it. Or they're going to hear somebody, a wolf, come along and tell them, well, this is what it says in you. And they're going to be they're going to be smitten by the fact that they can't perceive anything different, and so they're discouraged by the fact that they just got told that something was true that they didn't think was true. And they get hit by it, and they're hurt by it, and they're offended by it, and it becomes something that discourages them. Well, it's because they can't see afar off. They don't see the big picture. They don't see the truth that God of the Lord, and they're not in tune with the Lord and walking with Him closely, internally with Him. And so there's a warning here. Peter is warning here that these saints that are failing to abound in these graces, that they'll have a limited eyesight, only seeing what's right on them, missing the more precious things which are far off, which are farther off, and even forgetting, as he says here. Second, next thing it says, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, this isn't talking about losing your salvation, I don't believe. I don't think there is such a thing. But he's saying you forget really important things. You get distracted, and you get off track a little bit, so that now somebody's telling you, well, is that really true that he's purged you from your sins? You know, you don't even walk, or you don't even live like you ought to live, or whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, you know, you've kind of, your life now becomes in forgetting that you're purged from your old sins. Is kind of sometimes can become a slipping back into them, sliding back into those ways of walking that are just the old sinful flesh, just yielding to the flesh instead of yielding to God now. So need to be close to Him. He says in James, if you'll draw nigh unto me, what's he say? What does he promise he'll do? He'll draw nigh to us, right? So as we draw nigh to Him, He'll get closer to us. We need that. I desperately need the Lord. I need Him every hour, just as we sang. I need the Lord so close to me. I need Him to be with me. I can't do this alone. I can't do this life without His help. And I can't be at peace without Him comforting me in this life. I can't have the strength to go on without Him giving me the grace to endure. And so we need the Lord, and we need His presence close beside us. And He's saying that as we foster that, as we respect the Lord and desire His closeness to us, then what we find is, as the scripture says here, some promise. And we'll look at that promise here in a moment. But notice, here's God's will. Peter recommends for the saints a better course than that. He says, verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins. Wherefore, the rather, this is a therefore, wherefore. Some of the wherefores in God's word say why, ask the question why when they're a question. But this is a therefore, wherefore. This is when it's saying, so, here's the conclusion. Wherefore, the rather, much better than the course of lacking these things. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. In other words, the salvation that you have, the faith that you have, is evidence of your calling and election from the Lord. And in having that, he's saying here, you want to make that stable. You want to make it sure. You want to shore it up. You want to make it unshakable and unshaken. And you want to be unshaken. You want to be a child of God who's stable in his knowledge of the Lord and stable in his walk with the Lord and fellowship with the Lord, and the blessings of the Lord are coming upon his or her life. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. You won't stumble. Now there's those who believe that you can lose your salvation. I don't believe that. I believe that if you've truly been saved, that you lose your salvation. I'm a Baptist. But the fact, though, is, though, that as children of God, we fall. We stumble. We do get cast up. We do make terrible mistakes. We do make awful blunders. And as we get back to what I said earlier, is the Lord bails us out. And he keeps doing that. He loves us. He cares for us. And he's so good to us. But as we look to the scripture, he says here, wherefore, the rather, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And he's basically restating, I believe, what he's already said. Add these things to your life. They're going to stabilize you. They're going to strengthen you. And so he recommends this better course. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, still talking to these people as saints, because they are, he recommends diligence in making their calling and election sure. And do so by doing these things, as he's already talked about, these internal virtues, and then you won't fall. You won't fall back into the doubts and disbeliefs about the Lord and uncertainty about things and uncertainty when somebody says something to you and now you're all confused and you're messed up. No, because you've been walking. You're walking close to the Lord, and the closer we are to him, the more we draw nigh to him, the more he's drawing nigh to us with divine provision. Now, divine provision. That's the next verse here. Next verse is verse 11. For so in this way. So finally, Peter tells them this is the means of spiritual abundance in their lives. This is the means. And when I talk about abundance, I'm not talking about getting rich materially in this world. And when I'm talking about abundance, I'm not talking about being healthy, wealthy, and wise all the time. I'm not talking about that. I don't know. I know for a fact that sometimes that the Lord is, I mean, he's the one that gives you every paycheck you get. He's the one that provides for you your health. And he's the one that heals you whenever you've been sick and you need to be brought back to strength. He's the one that does all that. And we ought to always give him glory. And he uses the means of prayer for us to seek him, that the Lord might heal us and might strengthen us. We're praying for Brother Armin today for that very reason, because we believe that's the best course for him, is for us to pray for him, for us to go to the Lord and seek his help and his healing, and he can provide, he can meet the needs. And so that's what we want. But we see, though, that Peter in this is, he's talking about this provision, this spiritual provision that's promised. And he says in verse 11, for in this way, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, so what does he mean by that? That an entrance is going to be ministered unto us. Who's doing the ministering? Well, I think it's pretty obvious that it's a divine ministering. It's the Lord himself is ministering to us. That he's assuring us, Peter is assuring us, that if we put these things in practice in our lives and add to our faith these things, that he's going to minister to us these blessings that he's referring to here. And he's going to minister to us, as he says here, an abundance in our entrance into the everlasting kingdom. I'm already part of the kingdom right now. I'm already a member of the kingdom of God if I'm saved. If I'm saved by the grace of God, you're already a citizen. Okay? You're a citizen of heaven. But I'm not there yet. Okay? I'm not in that place yet. I have not, and I guarantee you, I look around. You're not there yet. You're not there yet. Look at life in 2020. You are definitely not there. Okay? But the Lord's kingdom is coming. And it'll come eventually. But so where am I right now? Well, I'm kind of at the door of that kingdom. I'm already a member there. I'm already a citizen there, but I'm not there. And I'm at the entrance, in a sense. Now, my entrance can be a very happy and glorious entrance, and a joyful entrance, and an entrance that's ministered unto by the Lord. And he's making even my entrance into the kingdom a glorious thing, a wonderful thing, or I can be defeated, I can be downhearted, I can be unbelieving in a sense, not in the sense of losing my salvation, but doubtful in a lot of things, and because I'm not walking with the Lord the way I ought to. See, the King will walk with you. The King of that glorious kingdom, He'll be in you, and He'll walk with you, and He'll be close to you. He says, you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. So He'll be close to us, and we can walk with Him even before we enter the everlasting kingdom. Even before we're there, He will walk with us, and He will bless us in this life. And so He says, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Do any of us need abundance in this life? Wouldn't it be good to have the abundance of the Lord? I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about more richer things than that, deeper things than that, spiritual abundance. I want joy, and I know possessions don't bring joy. All I have to do is read people's bios about how rich they are and how miserable they are. That's all I have to do. You have to read people's biographies and how that they thought this was going to make them happy, and it didn't at all. Didn't make them happy. And all the things of this life that you could maybe possess, and the power and the prestige that can be had in this life, do they really fill us with joy? And I think Solomon, in the book of Proverbs, he went through, or in the book of Ecclesiastes, excuse me, he went through and named a bunch of things and said, you know, I went and checked all these things out, and I'm coming back to tell you that none of those things bring real joy. It's all vanity. It's a vanity, 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 says the preacher. You know, he says, I'm coming back to tell you that that all these things of this life, all the pursuits for joy and happiness to be pursued in this life, they don't really bring you joy. The things that bring you joy are farther off, right? Those are the things you need to see. Those are the things we need to capture. Those are the things we need to get a hold of. And if we get a hold of those things that are farther off, that are out in the future, that have to do with our everlasting kingdom, have to do with our position in the everlasting kingdom of God's Son, we start taking possession of those things, and we're going to be a pretty happy people. We're going to be a joyful people. We're going to be a people that even through the deepest grief and loss and difficulties in this life, the Job losses and the Job difficulties, even through those deepest griefs and difficulties of life, we'll still be able to rejoice that our Redeemer lives. We'll still be able to rejoice that, you know what, I've got something that none of the world has. I got something more precious. I got what the beggar had and Lazarus didn't have. He had all the possessions. The beggar had the real possessions. He had the real possessions. He had what was really good and what brings real joy to our lives as God's people. Well, walking with the Lord and being with Him does that. And the virtues that He referred to there, all those different virtues, go back and look at them. They're internal virtues that have to do with recognizing that this world is not all that we have. It's recognizing that what's right upon us is not the only thing that there is. And rather, that we got some glorious things to look forward to, that we're not becoming nearsighted. Don't become nearsighted. Get into the Word of God and get into these things that the Lord have us to have, and so that our knowledge of the Lord continues to grow. To clearly describe this is their personal responsibility. Peter begins the next section that we're not dealing with this morning by saying there, wherefore, the next wherefore, verse number 12, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though you know them and be established in the present truth. Even though you might know them, I'm going to keep reminding you of them. Because it's easy to forget. And it's easy to slip back. It's easy to begin to doubt again. It's easy to get back to a place that we don't really want to be. So that they will not be prone to fall back to their old ways. adversely affecting their entrance into the kingdom. Not affecting their entrance, the reality of it, because if you're saved, you're going. You're going to be there. But affecting the course of it. In other words, the process of it. As we're here at the entrance, how is the entrance? How is it at the entrance? How is it at your entrance right now into the everlasting kingdom? How is life going at your entrance? And he's saying, hey, it can be pretty good, because you can have, as he's saying here, you can have the ministering of God abundantly upon your life. And so how does this relate then to our text? I mean, to our subject of our text in 2 Peter. Well, not pursuing these virtues makes us more vulnerable to the prevailing winds of doctrine, to the things that people are catching, people are getting, people are going with that are not true. These things will help us to be stronger and help us to abound in our knowledge of the Lord, so that we're not just thrown around, tossed around by everything that comes along as posing itself to be Christianity, posing itself to be the truth. And so we need the Lord's help. Peter seems to acknowledge that and show to these saints of God the great need they had of the Lord. Need him every hour. Do you need him every hour? Boy, I sure do. I need him all the time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. It's a blessing to have visitors with us today, Brother Lewis and Arthena Giles. Is that right? Aretha Giles. Such a blessing to have you with us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time and be in prayer one for another. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings to us. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to open your word and to think upon it. And Lord, we just desire to be humble servants. We desire to just simply be able to point things out in the scripture to your people who you have claimed as your own, and you have made them your children. And Lord, you've made us joint heirs with Jesus Christ and those who are on our way to the everlasting kingdom of your son. And we just praise you for that and rejoice in that. Thank you, Lord. It's all of grace that that's the case. But we also know that we fall short many times of what you'd have us to be in this life. We know you want us to rejoice always. And yet you tell us that there's a drawing near to you that's required for us to rejoice the way we ought to. And we just pray that you might bless us, that we would get closer to you. Thank you for all you are to us. And Lord, we just rejoice in our neediness of you, and that you do care for us, that you do provide for us, and that we are dependent on you is not something that's a bad thing. But Lord, that we would see that it's a wonderful thing, it's a glorious thing to have the King of Kings on our side. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. You are